Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another week of Community Zone here on 106.1 FM Wellington Access Radio. My name is Simon Howard, and coming up over the next hour, we are taking a look at the very best of what is happening across the city on stage and on screen. I'm delighted to say that in just a few minutes' time, I am joined by Gavin Rutherford and Simon Leary. Now, they are the writers of Pinocchio, the pantomime at Circa this Christmas and into January. Gavin is also the director, and both of them are members of the Circa Council. Now, Circa Theatre just launched its 2023 programme last week, so we'll also have a chat with them about what's coming up in 2023, what we can expect. There's some really exciting work across the year in our professional theatre. So stay tuned for that. That's a really great conversation coming your way. Then we will be taking a look at everything else that's on our stages this week and screens. Everything from the final week of performances at Bats Theatre. We'll also be looking ahead to another pantomime that's coming to Wellington and the St. James next week. But first, here on Access Radio, here's some great new Kiwi music to start your hour. And Gavin Rutherford have done a number of pantomimes together at Circa Theatre. Now, they took on the mantle of writing the show in 2019. Then, after 12 years starring as the Dame in the Circa Panto, Gavin stepped away after last year's adventures and this year directs and guides a mostly new cohort of talented young triple threats, telling the story of Pinocchio in Willy Woodington. Now, Simon and Gavin join me in the studio to discuss this and as Circa Council members, the launch of the theatre's 2023 programme. Kia ora, welcome back, both of you, to Access Radio.
Kia ora, good to be back.
Now, first of all, Pinocchio. When you're looking at a story to develop and put your own Wellington Circa panto spin on, what are some of the key ingredients you're looking for?
Well, first of all, we're going like, what's a fairy tale that excites us? And, I think we'd had quite a few sort of, princessy fairy tales in the last few years where we kind of have to adapt it and bring it into the modern era. And this one was, just the idea of a little wooden child that becomes a human. That was, exciting to us. And then for me, it was the idea of, going to, you know, the lies and, what we've been dealing with these last couple of years about misinformation or whatnot. So like, oh yeah, we can do something with that in a fairy tale-y way.
Yeah. And we seem to be right on the zeitgeist again. There's the number of remounts and remakes of the Pinocchio story is, you know, hasn't happened for a long time. And then all of a sudden there's Guillermo del Toro and a new animated one and the Disney remake, of course, but we don't talk about that.
No, I haven't watched that one yet.
It's back.
I mean, at this stage, though, this is the fourth one that you guys have done, right? Are you quite willing at this stage to kind of take on any fairy tale or children's classic and just dive in and start putting your sort of...
I think so. And it is a... We have to be very considerate of what the topic is, though, because panto is a certain genre. So it's not like some people have said, oh, well, why don't you do, you know, Star Wars, the panto or something. It's like, well, then that degenerates into sort of college humour. It's not really... panto.
Yeah.
So they need to be old tales, and whether they're Grimm Brothers or whether they're
Hans Christian Andersen
or something like that, or in this case, you know, an Italian tale which was sent out to newspapers in article form or whatever, but has become a magical tale.
Nice. And last year, The Little Mermaid, right? That offered lots of watery-based puns and adventure. I guess in Pinocchio, there was a little bit of a connection to the water with the whale and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd sort of, we'd done the water last year, but here we are in Willy Woodington. And I guess you'd say, if it was water puns last year, there's a bit of wood stuff in there this year, I suppose.
But not the obvious ones. and it is... We're surrounded by wood in the Greenbelt, and then there's a beautiful harbour there, so it's almost the ideal location. So we sort of base Geppetto's workshops in one of those boat sheds by the waterfront there, and the beautiful design by Annalisa Nordau is like, you know, is evocative of that. And you've got the hills in the background and the little wooden houses and things.
So, and Pinocchio's carved out of swamp Cody.
Yeah,
that was shipped overseas.
And you mentioned fake news there. You know, you incorporate that. There's influences. There's some really sharp political jokes and up-to-the-minute commentary in the script. Are you always ready to flex and make tweaks if there's something in the news that you think could pull a good laugh or be made fun of? Because it's very up-to-the-minute.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing, isn't it? And we certainly give the cast freedom to do that as well with their improvisation. And you know, if they have a suggestion, please come up to and talk to us about it. I'd spent 12 years with Simon Leary leaning over and whispering in my ear going, oh, maybe you could say this today and change that.
It's funny as well, like when you look, because we get audience feedback from the shows and we sort of read through that after the season to see sort of what resonates and whatever. But yeah, quite often there'll be a sort of like, you know, they mentioned Judith Collins retiring and it literally happened that day. Like, how do they do this?
Yeah, oh my goodness.
It's crazy talk. But yes, absolutely try to be nimble and be topical.
Well, that's the joy of the pantomimes, is that they're, whether there is something current affairs happening or whether it's an improv moment or whether it's something that happens in the audience, it's always a different show. Yeah. So everybody's getting a unique experience, and that's the joy of live theatre, but certainly the pantomimes for us.
Nice. Now, Jathan Morgan is...
Who? Sorry?
Jathan.
Why does that ring a bell? I don't know.
the chosen one, I guess.
I'm not sure.
To take on the somewhat mantle of the dame-like character playing Kahurangi Fairy in Pinocchio. Now, Jathan is this incredible talent, right? We've seen it in the Tifas, over a number of pantomimes. What was it about Jathan that really convinced you to choose them to take on this mantle?
Well, Jathan is Fano. I mean, Jathan has been with us for a long time, you know, and knows the form of pantomime. But you mentioned the Tifas. That was what convinced me, seeing how they worked with the audience there and just the relaxed nature of the communication on a much more adult level, but just relaxed and being themselves and sitting in a sort of an authentic person. And if you can take that and just clownify it a little bit, that's ideal and relaxed. And yeah, I find it very moving to watch Jathan, you know, step up and take the leadership role within the company, as well as, you know, holding that. From the very first preview, it was like, this is my whare. Welcome. Nice. You know, I'm here now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And as for the rest of the cast, was there lots of interest among the acting community of Wellington to be part of this? I mean, this is one of the longest and most successful productions you could kind of wish to be involved in, right?
Yeah.
We're very privileged to have been involved, and we do respect that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think, to be honest, when I came out of drama school, there was maybe a little bit of stigma about like, oh, you're doing the pantomime at the end of the year. But I think it's, you know, like it's just a kids show, but it's never been that for us. And we've just worked really hard to just make it kind of the coolest thing that it can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's getting reflected in the people that start approaching Circa every year to be in it, to the point where Gavin held open auditions this year for the Panto. And was it 40 people live? And then I think maybe about 20 or 30 self-tapes that people sent in.
For two roles.
Wow.
So that was extraordinary reaction and incredibly talented auditionees and that sort of thing. So it was a very hard process to sort of work through, but wonderful to see the interest and the response.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the cast list and kind of not knowing what to expect this year, right? Because there's a couple in there who I hadn't seen before, recent graduates, new to the Wellington stage in some ways, Tabitha, Bertie Killick and Finlay Hughes. Then there were sort of actors in there that I hadn't seen do this kind of production before, or maybe not for a number of years, the likes of Nidekas Reihane, Seppi. And we had Seppi on the show last week, and he was just sort of saying he was doing another show last year and saw the fun that you guys were having in the and was like, I want to be in this. But having seen the show, it's an incredible blend, right? And with the roles they're playing, it kind of all made sense.
And Emma Cartney as well is stunning. Absolutely stunning. But it is... I mean, again, we approached some people. We always knew that Jathan and Natasha would be involved. But Seppi auditioned. Nii auditioned. So we were very blessed and grateful to have them, you know, the established, you know, very, 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 very good practitioners coming forward and saying, I want to be involved.
And both of them had done the public service announcements. Was it the year before or 2 years before? And I know Nii was telling me that process of doing that. It's kind of like sketchy comedy, but a real panto aspect to it as well. But Nii was saying, oh, I didn't know that I could be funny. But coming out of that, playing Shane Jones and
their rendition of Shane. Is a wire to the Nii sang as Shane Jones over a while conjuring the spirit of somebody
for politician's past or something. They're so funny. And bring a new life to this thing, so if we can sort of sit
and
outside
truth
it and go,
as well there's such truth in their performances, and that's the key we think to the panto, is that yes, they're huge characters, and yes, they're clown characters, but it's always got to be based in truth, and you know it's lovely to watch.
Yeah, like the story doesn't work so much if you don't believe that Geppetto really wants a child, would do anything for them. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because he Sepe was talking about how, you know, he sees all these performances, but he's got he's the heart, right? He kind of grounds it alongside me as Pinocchio, and that's just as important. But yeah, you mentioned Emma there. I have a separate note for Emma Gatineau, who just seems to be born to play in this world, right?
Like, yes.
She just has an absolute blast playing Rupert Murfox. And I think it's like, it's quite a tricky line to play, right? Because you could easily take it too far, but it's just spot on, right?
Yeah. And not what we imagined when we wrote it. But so all of that is gifts from her to us, which is wonderful, because I think we're, you know, the Rupert Murfox, Murdoch type thing, we sort of, I think, originally wrote with an Australian accent in mind, right. But that, you know, in workshop and experimentation, we were like,
yeah, and, but right, but yeah. She just Emma just knocked it out of the park, and is an incredible singer as well. Mm. So when she does Mika's Grace Kelly, she's like knocks it out of the park. And you sometimes with those people in front of you, you just feel like you're at a concert.
And despite the changing of the guard in some ways, there are still lots of familiar elements, right? Michael Nicholas Williams, for example, still comes up with his set list of bangers and giving it everything over there on the keys every year, right? And you've still got Sheila Horton's costume. So it still feels very much like the Circa Panto that people have come to love over recent years, right?
It's great that you say that, because that is what we strive for, because it is, you know, while things are changing and there are changes, it is something that we want people to feel comfortable and, and, you know, it is a brand, if you like, and that brand is very important to Circa and certainly to us. So we, you know, we want to keep building it rather than just tear it down for the sake of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there are some nice little nods in there. I won't spoil anything to the what's come before. How important was that for you to include?
Well, we always have canon in the show, which we like in our narcissistic way we call canon.
It's kind of becoming like the Marvel universe
of pantomime. Somebody said that the other day. It's like the whole sort of, it is. It's a new theatrical universe. And so the characters and references do sometimes make their rear their ugly heads again.
Yeah, Simon, you never know, next year maybe we'll see you somewhere.
Yeah, see if King Lando makes a return or something. Robin Hood, I wonder what he's up to.
Bring him to Treasure Island.
Because you are announced now to be doing Treasure Island next year.
Yeah.
When will you get together and start work on piece?
We've already been brainstorming. We've already been, you know, writing synopsis and things like that. So the work begins early, and then we procrastinate for far too long.
Which is another way that we keep things very up to the minute.
Writing as an explorer. That's what it is.
About January, February is when we start slanging that script together.
Yeah.
I mean, by the 14th of January, you're probably all ready just to not talk about the past, not talk about not
seeing this year. We're not doing anything, so give us a job. We'll be turning up and giving, you know, feedback and appreciating the work that's happening there. But it's not the same as the other years when we've been in it and just needed a month off from Panto before we started working, because it's our job is done, really.
But of course, as Circa Council members, it's never done right. I have to mention the 2023 program, which launched last week. Now, in terms of putting that together, what were you, I guess, speaking on behalf of the council, what were you looking for this year? Have the priorities changed in any way as we're sort of still in these strange pandemic times? Or were you sort of keen to just produce something that resembles business as usual?
Obviously we're looking for the highest standard of theatrical works that we can receive. But as we are coming, hopefully, on the tail end of this pandemic, there's still a slight tentativeness of if a show involving 10 people falls over, that's just wildly expensive and a lot easier to fall over. If say one person gets sick, the whole thing has to go down. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of strong solo works in next year, and we're taking a couple of chances with some of the bigger works. We've got the pantomime again, Treasure Island, and Importance of Being Earnest. And I did have an public service announcements. I think that should have about a cast of 6 or 7. So yeah, we got some biggies in there, but we're also hedging our bets a little bit with some smaller pieces.
And the biggest show in the world at the moment is a solo show. So that's we're very lucky to get the rights for Prima Facie. So that's going to be a stunning production.
I was talking to Bevan at the launch, and like, yeah, that's only been out in the world since just before the pandemic. Yep. And yeah, amazing that we'll get to see it at Circa next year.
It's a hard one to lock down. Credit to Linda Wilson
and Lindy Jane Rutherford and Mel Dodge and the team that they've got involved in
the rights for that one.
And it's awesome to see, you know, the same, some of these festivals return year after year, right? Like the Fringe gets its chance to do some play readings and stuff in there. Kiamo is going to be there. We don't know what we'll look forward to that when it's released. And Tahi Festival as well, after coming in this year in the space. And I mean, they're doing Verbatim, which like I haven't seen done on Wellington stage before.
Right, and that's another Kiwi blockbuster, as well as the other piece, which is a whole bunch of Polynesian writers coming together to create. So that's wonderful to have those opportunities in our space, and so we're looking really, really looking forward to that.
Sorry, Stan.
Oh, I was just I wonder if you were going to bring it up, but it might be a good place to say that we've got the we've just re-announced our Friends of Circa thing, which you basically pay $75 for a kind of year membership type thing, and then you get $38 tickets to the first 2 weeks of every show, which is a huge saving. I think what is it, $55 usually for an adult ticket. So that's a great way to support the theatre, but also get some sweet deals and make sure that you go and see a bunch of these amazing plays.
Yeah, there's some good behind the scenes things, and basically if you go to 3 shows, you've already paid it off, right?
Like exactly. Pretty much
that. That's pretty amazing.
Well worth doing.
And I have to mention some of the ones that really caught my eye. Skyduck, Chinese spy comedy coming out from Auckland. I mean, that feels like something that's quite new for Wellington.
It's coming over from Australia, actually. So the writer's based in Australia, and they had a fantastic season over there. So they're coming over for the Auckland Festival and then coming down to our space, which is amazing. And it was, there was a, negotiations happened because if they didn't get the Auckland Festival, it would have been very hard to come down. So yeah, we're fortunate that
Sam Wang, the writer, devisor, performer of that, I went to drama school with as well. I'm so excited to have
him. Nepotism.
He's always not seen him perform since drama school. So and he's just had a show out on, I think it was TVNZ recently as well, that he's written. So he's huge.
It's another funny production that they've been working on for a while, started off very small and intimate, and has now got all the whiz-bang silly technology to support a Chinese 007 on their adventures.
Yes, bring it, Sam.
And you've got Dave Armstrong's latest coming in there. We haven't been a few years since, you know, we've seen one of his great comedies. And
that's with his brother, who's a very accomplished musician. So I think there's a trio or a quartet playing along with Andrew Lang in the performance of it. So it's,
fancy.
It's going to be,
If it's anything like Andrew Lang's last performance, it's insane.
Wonderful.
And then you mentioned LJ and Mel and another cringeworthy installment and PSA as well, right? I mean, oh my goodness, what's what's it going to look like by then? Hey, flipping heck. I'm sure whatever's
it's
going on.
It's all grist in the mill. It's all material.
Well, the Circa 2023 program's out now. Do check it out. Pick up a program or check out the website. There's exciting things going on at Circa, right? There's a great Circa rebuild coming soon.
That's
right.
Which looks insane. But for now, Pinocchio wraps up the year, and it's back from the 2nd to the 14th of January. It's on until the 23rd of December this year, but do check the website because tickets are in very short supply for 2022. You may be too late.
It's good for Christmas gifts for January.
January season, get in there.
School holidays, get everyone along. Yeah. Gavin and Simon, thank you so much for your time as always. Have a fantastic holiday season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rest your heavy head on mine. Don't hesitate to cry. Cry your fears.
As we watch, with bated breath.
All right, a big thank you there to Simon Leary and Gavin Rutherford. Pinocchio has very limited availability for the rest of 2022, but do get in and book ahead for the 3rd to the 14th of January. Now, there is lots on in Wellington this week, across comedy, across improv. Bats Theatre's got a few shows on. So let's dig into what's happening. The last full week show of the year at Bats is upon us, and it comes from the Power Ballads, who are embarking on a musical adventure in an exclusive five-night Christmas season of Jingle Elves, the musical. The North Pole's inhabitants bring you the magic of song, a splash of inter-elf drama, and maybe even something to stuff your stocking. All completely improvised, this show will be the Christmas gift you have never seen coming. It's performed by the Power Ballads, Bethany Miller, Megan Connolly, Wuramu Tuiwai, Austin Harrison, Malcolm Morrison, and Matt Hutton, with Isaac Thomas on music and Scott Maxim on lights. Art Murmurs has previously said that the Power Ballads look after their audience and really engage them to create a full experience. If you'd like to be uplifted in these weird times, catch these creative, joyful players. I've seen them before when they did their sold-out hit, The Musical, when it was remounted at the New Zealand Fringe in 2021. And it's a great way to end the year, you know, with a real fun improv musical from some fantastic practitioners. It's on at 8:30 p.m. in the stage at Bats, Tuesday through Saturday. And then one of the regular improv shows that happen every month, Tiny Dog, they return for the final time this year in the Dome. That is on the 9th of December, Friday, 8 p.m. Tiny Dog is an improv company made up of Gabby Anderson, Stevie Hancock's Monk, Charlotte Glucina, Lisa McLeod Whiting, and Elaine Dick. Combined, they've won and been nominated for many awards, but just know they're all very cool and very funny performers. So yeah, lots to choose from on the improv scene at Bats this week. Now, in terms of big British visitors this week, it starts tonight at 8 o'clock at the Opera House with Sandy Toksvig here, the broadcaster and comedian, for an evening of comedy and curiosities as she takes to the stage to share little known facts and tell tall tales alongside some really silly jokes. Packed full of reasons to be cheerful, the show will be a soothing balm after recent years of lockdown gloom, with a side of parlour games for those who wish to take part. Now, it's her first ever tour of New Zealand. You'll know her from QI and the Great British Bake Off. She's at the Opera House tonight. Very limited seats remain for that. And then tomorrow night, Rob Beckett is coming to New Zealand from the UK. He's been a team captain on 8 out of 10 Cats. He's host of Rob Beckett's Undeniable, the co-host of the BAFTA-nominated Rob and Romesh Versus. He's done Live at the Apollo, Would I Lie to You, 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown and Mock the Week, and he hosts the hugely popular podcast Parenting Hell with Josh Widdicombe, which has had over 25 million downloads. It's Rob's first time in New Zealand as well. His UK tour's been a sellout, and yeah, it's a show you don't want to miss. So yeah, go and Google them if you haven't heard of them. Sandy Toksvig tonight, Rob Beckett tomorrow at the Opera House. It's fantastic to have these kinds of acts back. Of course, Alan Carr a few weeks ago sold out the Michael Fowler Centre as well. Thursday night sees Professor Brian Cox's postponed show finally here at the TSB Arena. Horizons, a 2022 space odyssey. Having set two Guinness World Records with his previous tour, Professor Brian Cox is back, taking audiences on a dazzling cinematic journey, a story of how we came to be and what we can become. It uses state-of-the-art LED screen technology, filling arenas with images of faraway galaxies, alien worlds, supermassive black holes, and a time before the Big Bang. What is the nature of space and time? Why does the universe exist? How did life begin? And what is the significance of it in the cosmos? So yeah, Brian is joined by the co-host of The Infinite Monkey Cage and award-winning comedian Robin Ince, who's been here before. So get in fast for that on his national tour. He's at the
TSB Arena Thursday night. Away from that, the Royal New Zealand Air Force Band have a performance on Wednesday lunchtime. They are doing the Spitfires. It's one of their weekly lunchtime series at St. Andrews on the Terrace. There are six performers in that. There are lots of shows all around this week as well. Circus of the Night is on at the Fringe Bar on Thursday night from 8 p.m. The circus is in town. It's a show for professional performers to let loose and perform acts not fit for a traditional family-friendly circus show. So dangerous tricks, risque, burlesque, just plain strange. The show promises to have everything. It's produced by Athena Rose and emceed by Victor Victorious, and it will feature performances from the likes of Laura Oakley, Rama Tapp, and Athena Rose herself. That's 8 p.m. with GA tickets, $20 in advance on Event Finder. There is also Blowout Comedy Thursday at Kennedy's, and that stars delightful Scottish comic Ryan McGee, who's done a lot of fringe shows, and hosted by Kiwi comedy veteran Dan Brader. There's Friday Laughs at the Fringe Bar with Bridget Davies and Jack Darling. There's also comedy on Saturday at the Fringe Bar with Shree Nair and Sammy Hanna. Both of those I would recommend highly. Tickets to that are $30, and that's a two-hour show of some top Kiwi talent with an MC and six acts from around the capital's comedy scene. There is also the final chance to catch a New Zealand opera production this weekend. You're going to have to go out to Porirua, to Te Rauparaha Arena. There's two performances, this Friday at 8 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. And it is a fantastic looking show. Itai Avia, Star Navigator by Tim Finn with Celestine Hitoravaiti and Tom McLeod. Aboard a cramped British scientific vessel in the vastness of the Pacific, two navigators find themselves locked on a collision course. One, a Tahitian priest, guided by his ancient knowledge of star pathways. The other, a naval officer, desperate to prove both himself and his faith in science. It's a beautiful and haunting new work with Tahitian monologues telling the story of Tupaia, the Tahitian star navigator who sailed with James Cook on the maiden voyage of the Endeavour in 1769. Itai Avea, Star Navigator, explores the relationships between two master mariners, each from vastly different worlds, both far from home and unable to find their way into each other's world. Now, it had a sold-out world premiere in Auckland last year, and it's the first chance to see it in Wellington, in Porirua, with Orchestra Wellington. So yeah, that one's a must-see. There's also some fantastic symphony orchestra at the Michael Fowler Centre, Saturday night, 7:30. They're doing Messiah, George Friedrich Handel's masterpiece, which was first performed in 1742. It's one of the most performed and best-loved musical works of all time, so you can't really go wrong with that. And back to improv, a really great troupe that's come out this year. Pop Rocks are doing their Pop Rocksmas end-of-year special in the bar at Te Awaha, Saturday, 8 p.m. They really get the audience involved with gifts, glamour, and giggles under your tree. A magical night of festive improv comedy. Dylan Hutton, Nina Hogg, Austin Harrison, they're all part of that troupe. They're fantastic performers. Get in fast for early bird, $15 tickets for that one. And then on Sunday night at the Opera House, it's very busy there this week, A Celtic Christmas arrives. After record-breaking tours in 2019 and 2021 with a taste of Ireland, the all-singing, all-dancing, family-friendly treat, A Celtic Christmas by A Taste of Ireland, is back for 2022. Watch two star-crossed lovers twirl beneath the mistletoe as award-winning Irish musicians complement the world's best Irish dancers, delivering a heartwarming performance to leave your feet tapping, eyes shining, and your soul wanting more. Choreographed and produced by multiple national champion and star of Gale Force Dance and Rhythms of Ireland, Brent Pace, and world champion Lord of the Dance lead soloist Seeley Moore. Get your tickets for that from Ticketmaster, I guess, with it being at the Opera House. And then Sunday night, the Wellington Theatre community will be out in force for the 2022 Wellington Theatre Awards, returning to the theatre at Hannah Playhouse, recognising the actors, designers, technicians, managers, and everyone that creates and produces theatre in Wellington. It's been another tricky year for the sector. It's a great chance for people to come together, connect, and celebrate what's been presented over the last year. I really look forward to seeing the winners and nominees, and also just celebrating everything that's happened here since December last year, who are eligible for awards. So yeah, that is this week. As you can tell, lots going on in the lead up to Christmas everywhere you look, I know. But for now, that is all that we have time for here on Access Radio. Again, a big thank you to my guests, to Simon and Gavin, and we'll be back next Monday, just two shows remaining before Christmas. Akashwani is on the way next. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.